Good morning.
This is being recorded and for the record, if you could give your name, I'd appreciate it. We'll start down here.
Josh Lococo, Assistant Sanitary Engineer from Miami County.
Julie Reese, Trustee Bethel Township.
Hannah Deck, Bethel Township Trustee.
Beth Van Hearn, Bethel Township Trustee.
Thank you. We're going to turn it over to Josh to get started right now.
Absolutely. So earlier this year, I was approached by a couple of Bethel Township residents. They were concerned about their water system. They're currently on a private water system in the 571-202 area. So their water is currently supplied by Tip City. They have a line out by the old ball fields in Tip City and goes underneath the river, and then to a well house there close to the corner of 202 and 571. This system was put in the 70s, I believe.
Early
70s. And they're starting to have breaks. And if they get a break under the river, with it being a private water system, they just don't have the capability or the funds to be able to repair, you know, a leak like that. Plus, the system's aging. The pump house is aging. There's a lot of aging characteristics about this system, and I think it would be something that we can look into as far as with our water line going up to Studebaker Road to extend that to 571 to get them off being a private water system to our public water system. But so I've got two exhibits in front of you. The first one's a map of the area, so you can see the little dashed blue line that goes to Studebaker Road. That's our Studebaker Road Waterline Extension Project. We would go from there north all the way to 571. And then I've got estimated costs on this spreadsheet. The highlighted costs in yellow are optional. If we were going to do this project, I would want to do it. Replace everything, so we get them new meter pits, give them new services from the road to their house. That's about 22 houses on that system. It's about a mile and a half of water line going from Studebaker Road to 571. We could scale this project smaller if we needed to, if you know, funds were a constraint, as far as their water system extends south towards Studebaker already. We could tie in and use some kind of interconnect between our system and their system, and then of course disconnect them from Tip City. That's our least kind of favorite option, but it is an option that we have in case we want to do it.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but all we really want to do right now is do a feasibility study?
That is correct. Yep, so we would need to do a study. Based on my calculations, the pressure we have here at Studebaker Road would supply those residents enough pressure, but it is water coming from the Brant Water Tower, so it is traveling quite a distance, and we need to make sure, one, we're going to have the right chlorine levels when we get to them, and we're not going to need any kind of chlorination station, and two, we'll have enough pressure to meet the EPA standards. The normal process would be, if we wanted to move forward with the study, have the township trustees pass a resolution to reach out to you guys saying, we're requesting of you for us to do a study on it. And then we would reach out to our several engineering firms. We have SOQs, so we'd go off the SOQs. Whoever ranked the highest would, then we'd enter in negotiations with them, and then we'd start the study.
And once again, correct me if I'm wrong, but by doing this feasibility study and having the Bethel Township trustees, you know, agreeing, we're not asking for anything at this point in time other than them agree, that opens up the possibility, more than a possibility, for some grants. Could you tell us a little bit about the grants that we might be eligible for?
Absolutely. So as the county, we're eligible for OPWC. Bethel Township is as well eligible for OPWC. We have higher constraints than Bethel Township would. They're eligible for small governance OPWC money. We would be eligible for just the regular OPWC money, competing with all the other municipalities. Depending upon how this project scored, we could potentially both get funded for OPWC money for this project. There's also rural grant loans out there available that Bethel Township would be eligible for, that the county might not be eligible for, depending upon how the requirements shake out for each grant.
Yeah, I mean, Josh and I have talked about this, you know, extensively. And as you know, your observation that really today is to discuss the participation in the study, rather than any sort of commitment or direction on the actual project itself, which obviously the costs are significant.
Would the study include the possibility, or what type of environment do they have out there for wells? Would that study look into that as well?
We could include that in the scope. So the ODNR has well logs for houses between 571 and Steubacher Road, as well as going east and west along 571. Those wells out there, they're pumping, you know, 2 or 3 gallons a minute. The wells out there aren't very...
It's not very strong.
Yeah, they're not very strong. They're having to dig multiple times to even hit water sometimes. So we could look into that. Included in the study as well, we would want to include some kind of expansion of the system. So there's a couple of fields here that could potentially get houses on them. There's a couple of new houses already along 202 that have wells. So we would want to make sure that whatever the study looked at, they would be go kind of higher than our immediate concerns with the houses, number of houses.
Do you have any estimation on what this study would cost?
I would estimate the study to cost somewhere around $50,000. The last study we did for the Brandt system to make sure the Carriage Trails development, I believe that cost somewhere in the range of $36,000 to $40,000, but I can get that exact number. I would estimate this to be about the same.
Josh, through that study or some other study, could it include assessment of the actual existing line in terms of, you know, there's been concerns about the condition of that line?
Mm-hmm.
Can that be included, or is that a separate study?
Nope. So we can tailor the scope if what we're trying to hit is kind of across the board everything. Of course, that's going to make the study a little more expensive, but if the financial constraints, then we can tailor the study to what we actually want to look at. So take some stuff out, maybe add some stuff. But yeah, we can tailor this however way we want to tailor it.
Have you seen the agreement of the homeowners in that area? Was there an agreement with Tip City, and was there any funding set aside for maintenance or anything like that? I guess I'm asking, is there any such document out there?
I'm not aware of any document. We have some folks from Woodward Hills.
Originally with the city, between Woodward Hill and the city, contract between Tip City and Woodward Hill Water. The maintenance.
Excuse me, since we're recording, if you could just state your name and your address, and then.
Deborah Fritz, 5227 South State Route 202, Woodward Hill Water. There was originally an agreement between Tip City and Woodward Hill Water. There were no monies involved. Woodward Hill Water did everything themselves. There has been no funds available from Tip City in any way, shape, or form since the line was put in. Woodward Hill has been totally self-care and maintenance. Just in the last few years, it's just gotten to the place where every leak costs us between $4,000 and $5,000, sometimes as much as $8,000. So it's old. We have a piece of the existing system. If you'd like to see the way it's deteriorating a little bit.
Sure.
When that leak was fixed in July, we were using between 500 and 800 gallons an hour of water.
Is how many residents? 22?
There's 19 properties, but
19
a couple
properties.
Of properties have more than one meter.
Okay. Have there been an agreement amongst that group of people that all of them are unanimous? They all want to participate in this?
We have submitted petitions with names besides Woodward Hill. We are all in agreement that we need to do something. Some of the residents out there three residents for sure have been there since the inception of it, or they are families of the original people. And they are the first ones to realize that we really have been in a bind for a long time. And the neighborhood has replenished in the last few years. We got younger families moving in, and they have begun to realize that we have a real problem here. I get a report daily from Tip City. I watch very closely because it's a graph of how much water we're using. When it doesn't turn off at night, I start to look for problems. We repaired this big leak in July. We had another leak in September that was on personal property, so they were responsible for it. But even that one was going up to 600 gallons per hour that the water was coming through, as far as reported from Tip City. The meter is on the east side of Tip City that Tip City uses for their billing. I thought since the repair was done in September that I was going to see a huge improvement in the graph, and we're still we're losing between 20 and 23% every month.
Now, Josh, didn't you meet with the trustees earlier on this?
I had a meeting back in March, I believe, or April, sometime earlier this year. Just presented to them kind of the possibility of county involvement, how much I thought this would cost then. So I've updated the numbers from what I told them originally. Choice One had a project bid out for a similar situation to this, 6-inch water line, hydrants, you know, meter pits, all that. And we had a project just bid out, Scubica Road, that was boring through rock. That's where these new cost estimates are coming from, and it's inflated from what I told them, but I think this is, you know, over the next 2 years, I think this will hold true a lot better than what I had said originally. And like I said in the beginning, we can scale this back if we need to, or potentially scale it up further. But yep, so I presented to them potential grant opportunities for this project, potential ways that this can be funded, with, of course, our Studebaker Road project going as well.
Mm-hmm. Those EPA logs, I think you mentioned about wells, is that something we've seen or have access to?
So the ODNR well logs, okay. I've sent them to Deborah. I can print all those out. So they're all just dots on a map that ODNR, any well that's closed or open now, has a log attached to it. I can print those out for the commissioners for all the wells along 202 if you'd like.
Does that show the production or lack,
yes.
Lack thereof?
So they'll test the wells, the well drilling company will, before they even turn it over to the homeowner.
And it's my understanding that after we do this feasibility study, and if we want to go into this, you know, that's when the grant possibilities could happen. But if Bethel Township doesn't partner with us, we won't be eligible for those grants. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, so there are quite a few grants that we wouldn't be eligible for just from our size. Even in our Tip City system, which is one of our smaller systems, we're not eligible for a bunch of grants just because it, you know, we're getting it from Tip City, or we're selling our sewage to Tip City, and then the size of the county, it includes all of our different systems combined.
One other question I've got. I'm curious as to why Tip City has not been at the table a little bit. They've been producing the water to them for all these years, and what, they've just a blind eye to the problem, or have they been, has there been any discussion with Tip City?
Yes, they're not interested.
They're not.
We met with them, Debbie and I met with them at their work session in August. And their city council said they would have to replace the system, go under the river. Mm-hmm. That is a huge expense. Mm-hmm. And they're not interested in taking this on. And also, the distance is much greater. I think they have 1 mile to get to the start, but 1.6 miles to get to the end, whereas this extension is, I don't know what it is exactly, Josh, but from the Studebaker to the end, it's only like 1.1 miles or something, 1.2.
Yeah, it's a little less than 1.5. We go all the way to the corner of 571, so.
And they are the opposite, but they have to go under the river, and that going under the river is a lot more complicated. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Erosion and everything else.
Yeah, and...
Mm-hmm. And with the new Ohio EPA and EPA restrictions on that, you're talking about casings and everything that we had to do for going underneath the interstate, but even more so for environmental factors.
Questions from the trustees?
I don't have any questions, but I have some comments if you want to hear them.
Yeah, I would like to hear.
So we've been debating this in the township, I don't know, since February, maybe?
February.
It's been a while. And I don't know, maybe Deborah can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding, too, was that in Tip City's defense, that the original agreement was that they could put the line in themselves, they did it themselves, and they would maintain it themselves.
Right.
So there's probably been nothing set aside in part because of that. And the group was setting aside money for maintenance, the Woodward Hills group. So that's my understanding. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I just want to let you know that, you know, like I said, we've been talking about this for a long time. The residents that I've heard from, nobody outside of the meeting is for spending government funds on this project. They believe it's not the township's or the government's responsibility because it's a private citizen issue. I mean, of course, we want everyone to have clean drinking water. Don't misconstrue that as the reason, but here's some of the comments. The group has not explored all of the options available to them, i.e. drilling wells or having a cistern or some other means. Recently, one of the members of the Woodward Hill group did drill a well and put in a cistern, and he's now off the Tip City water and is self-sufficient. Another property in the group also recently drilled a well. Too soon to know what's going to happen with that. The other concerns of the community is not only that it's wrong to spend taxpayer money to solve a private issue, but they mentioned that they do not expect the government to bail them out when they have water or septic issues. They feel this will set a precedent and that we will have to bail everyone out because we all have wells. You know, north of Brant, everybody has a well and is on septic. At our last meeting, it was mentioned that a neighbor had to drill 3 wells before they were successful in hitting water, but they did not come to the township, nor did they expect us to pay for it. And the last thing, another concern is the community voted for a levy to battle annexation, as you all know. Part of that battle included putting water and sewer infrastructure along 40. Adding more infrastructure encourages development, and it is higher density development because now there's infrastructure available. So that infrastructure is now hastening the downfall of our township, and the quality of life that we have is disappearing. So the more infrastructure, the more development we're gonna have, it's gonna become less and less rural. And we're gonna lose our farmers because there's just so much traffic now. And just a couple other things. That came out of the conversation. The gallons per minute, those are brand new houses that we just allowed to be built on property in that area where we knew there was water issues. So, you know, it comes to the trustees, you got 3 trustees, it passed. So those houses that are on that low water pressure knew that there was a Woodward Hills group and that there was a water issue. Now across the street from that, there's couple new houses in, and my understanding is they have great water. So that's just south of the Woodward Hills group. But so I, you know, people just feel they should explore some more options and not come to the government to ask for help for a private issue. That's what I've heard.
Same consensus. I'm getting the same talk from the residents, and most people think that using, Beth has said several times that the 3.8 that was passed is for infrastructure. Most people that come to us, they know it wasn't. It was passed initially to prohibit annexation, to in some way to fight that. Over the course of the years, we've of course moved on to using it for other things, more or less a general fund levy. You know, you're paying salaries, you're doing all the other things with that money that the citizens initially thought was going to stop the annexation problem that we currently have. Well, it hasn't. And this is just the door that will open that up for more development and possibly more annexation from the TIP side if it comes to that. I think that for me, I'm only in office 10 months. And I met with Deborah Fritz when I first came in office and looked at your letter from Mrs. Fritz. I even called you several times about the problem. I've done a little investigation on my own, not just talk to them in general. I talked to the neighbors, I've talked to the community. Most of the community is not as vocal as the 21 residents or property owners of Woodward Hill. They don't come in and they don't slam their fists down and say, this is what you have to do, it's our tax money too. We don't get that. What we get is a subtle email or an anonymous email, which Beth has gotten as well. We get phone calls, we get people stopping by our homes to question us as to why we would even consider this. And you have to look at everything. I mean, I understand they have problems. I'm not opposed to, in some way, trying to help them through their situation. But is it the responsibility of the township to do that? I don't know that it is. Most of the people that I've talked to don't believe it is. We have people on Palmer Road that have problems with their wells, Dayton Brant Road that have problems with their wells. We have people on Flick that have problems with their wells. These roads all butt up to connections off of 40 that we could easily run water right down and solve their problem as well. Do we move the line down 40 to solve their problem if we're going to extend it up 202? Or, I mean, where do you stop? You know, I mean, that's really what I'm here to ask. Where do you stop? I mean, we don't have the funds to water and sewer the entire township. I don't even think it's in our charter to do that. If it were, we would probably have done it by now. I think that this deal with Woodward Hill, starting back in the 70s, they knew what they were getting into. As we know, when we built our house there 40 years ago on 40, what we were getting into. We knew if we sunk a well and we didn't hit water, we would have to sink another one. If we didn't hit water the second time, it'd be a third time. That's part of living the rural community lifestyle. You take those chances. They did a different way, and they were supposed to, according to everything that we've been told by other residents who still live in the community, were to collect funds from those 21 houses to fix their problems as they arose after they put that system in. Where's that money at? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what I was asked last night. Where's the money at that was supposed to solve their water issues as they came up? I don't know. It's not my responsibility to ask that question. It's the community's responsibility that's involved with that. So that's what we see. Beth sees something different. So.
And I'll speak for myself, yeah. Thank you. So I have been a trustee for 19 years. The 3.8 mil levy, which is a general fund levy, was passed in 2003. It has six or seven reasons. Some people, because I've heard from a lot of people over the years, saw it as a water and sewer bill. Some people saw it as an infrastructure. Some people saw it as an anti-annexation. But at the end of the day, it is a general fund levy. We have expended monies from this levy to do fund infrastructure for sewer in Brant, for water and sewer in Fountain. And because we had these funds available, and we had matching funds, we got enormous grants from Ohio EPA, ODNR, OPWC, Josh, I don't know all the acronyms, but quite a bit. I mean, we've gotten over $9 million in grants funding because we have these matching funds and because we use them. We Bethel Township paid for the engineering studies for those systems. Water and sewer, or water was in Wiley Industrial Park that was put in privately through Jack Wiley in who knows what year, but it connected to Huber Heights because we didn't have water there. That was due to expire in 2017, and Huber said, well, either you can annex to us or we're turning your water off. So we did. We used those funds to run the water lines, and we got matching grants to do that, and that kept Wiley Industrial Park, which is
from being annexed. From being annexed.
From being annexed.
Sorry.
Right, yep, gonna finish the sentence. So I have talked to a number of people. I sent Josh my list of 50-some contacts that I just reached out and sent a document that basically said, here's what we've done so far with this money, here's what it's proposing, these people aren't asking us to pay $1.6 million. They're asking us to fund an engineering study for $65,000-ish, give or take $5,000, of which we have those funds now. We do have a 3.8 mil levy. We replaced it last year, and it's generating over $700,000. I'm not advocating that we spend it all. They're not advocating. I think they're fully expecting to be completely assessed for that. But as you know from working in your jobs for forever, that if the project is shovel ready, then we can go out and get grants. And I didn't even realize that we have a different grants available to us because we're a smaller entity. That's huge. And we all want to maximize the funding that we have available, and nobody wants to waste money. I get that. But if we have 21 homes whose property value tanks because they don't have access to clean water, that's not fulfilling our role as trustees, which is the health, safety, and welfare of our constituents. They have gotten 100% of their residents on board, and there's a few other houses that have said our wells are shaky, we'd like to have it. I can tell you, or Josh can probably tell you, you don't have 100% hook in on the Brant water system, and you don't have 100% hook in the Fountain water system yet. You will eventually, but you don't have that yet, even though it would be nice. So I see it as very important, and I think they realize that if this really comes to pass at 1.6 million and we only can only get a 50% access in for 50% grants matching, that they would have be on the hook for 21 houses divided by whatever's left. They just spent 5,000 on the leak in September, and they'll probably spend another 5,000 on the next leak. Like, that adds up quickly. So I obviously support it strongly because we've already had this as a precedent. We've done this for Brant, we've done this for Fountain, and we are responsible for the health, safety, and welfare of our community.
Well, also, I see it as an opportunity for you to control your destiny, because if you do not,
right,
what's going to happen? What's happening right now? You're losing your township.
Yeah.
Well,
acre at 300 recently at a time.
But running water and sewer at 40 didn't help it.
Because
it didn't stop it.
We failed to do any type of development ourselves and create a block. That's exactly what Sugar Creek Township is doing. They're putting a block around, they ran water and sewer, they're putting a block of development. They don't like it, but we can't do that. And we won't do that. So we have extra access of the water and sewer along 40, 247 homes, which would make a really nice strip of half acre lots all on 40, but we can't do it. We won't do it. So, and as far as your increased development along 202, we're not running sewer, we're just running water.
Right.
We need water and sewer to do dense center development. There's no plans to run sewer there.
It already runs to Studebaker Road,
right.
So now it becomes cheaper for a developer to come in and continue it to 571 or whatever lots are along there that could be sold. So, and that was a general statement, I think, running it up to Studebaker. There's a lot of farmland up to Studebaker from 40 that will now potentially be developed faster because there is infrastructure there. And as far as the leaks go, as was mentioned, they spend a lot of money on leaks, but they're not all on the line itself. They're in their own private property because, again, the system is so old that just at your own house, right, if you have your own well and your own septic, after years, it's going to go bad. So, but anybody, when you have city water, they're only responsible along the street, right? Once it starts coming this way to your house, you're responsible for that. So that's not going to change that. They would still have to replace the lines that are there now that are old, that are leaking. So, I mean, there's not a true picture of the leak. And I disagree with the, I mean, I can read you things from the newsletter where they sold this as an annexation levy. So that's why people think it's there to help stop annexation. And it's not just about annexation. The citizens who are against it, they think it's going to set a precedent. And not only that, they feel that they would not come to the government and ask for them to help when they have their own private personal problems. Just as the lady who just drilled three wells, she did not come to the township for money. And other people feel the same way. They feel like this money shouldn't, no government at any level should be spending money on this.
Which parcel drilled three wells?
I don't know. It was, Jenny mentioned it at the meeting. It was a neighbor of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And I drilled
a
well.
Neighbor of Jenny? She doesn't live on.
I drilled a well. Yeah, she does. She lives on, she's on water and.
Oh, I thought you meant she doesn't live on Woodward Hill, Jenny does.
No. Well, she said the Barberietum, they drilled a well.
Yeah, it gets about a gallon and a half per minute.
Well, they're not complaining.
And they don't live there full time either. So. And they're still using their water. Go ahead.
Excuse me.
And
yes, they do have a well that they drilled that is for outside use only. They still have a metered water entrance in the basement that they pay Woodward Hill.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would just like to say that all we're really wanting to do at this point in time is do this feasibility study, and the county's willing to try to help out to where we would partner with you on that.
Great. That'd be
and,
awesome.
So that's what we're asking today. And we're not asking to do anything.
Decision today, so you all need to go back
right.
And talk about
so
it.
So I have a question, and maybe this is for Josh. If we would partner with you on this feasibility study, if we would do a 50% partnership or a 25% partnership, does that affect our abilities to get grants in the future? It's just some partnership.
Yep.
Okay, fantastic. All right.
You didn't ask us to partner with you to do the feasibility study and also running of the lines from Jerry Hertz's property down to Studebaker Road. Why was that?
ARPA.
Didn't come to us.
ARPA, and he also is going to
One property owner, yeah, which is roughly $1 million of the $3 million project.
Right.
So he's paying a third of it. But she didn't come to us and ask us to do that then. Why not? I mean, I'm just curious.
Not even just partnering,
not
but
partnering.
you didn't even ask us our opinion or
right.
the township's opinion on running it there.
Right. I mean, curious question.
I don't have an answer for that right now. But I think that we've been good partners with you, and we've went to bat on this annexation to where we've put in thousands of dollars into
yep.
this and countless hours and over in Columbus and everything. So it isn't like we're trying to backdoor you or do anything. We want to help all of our townships out, and I think that we've shown that.
Oh, we appreciate you being on the bat for us on annexation. I mean, not just for us,
yeah.
It's for the entire county
yeah.
right.
as well. Can I just ask you a question about, like, how is this controlling our destiny? Because I tried to make the point that if we put more infrastructure in, the township gets developed faster. There's just no
control the development through a plan, through your land use plan.
We have.
Instead of another entity coming in and providing those services, they control it. You have no say at the table at all. If you've got the infrastructure in, you kept your commercial spot that you just talked about because you came to bat and you provided water and sewage for that particular entity, that commercial development.
Right.
If
but
you
and
would
along,
not have done that, that would have went into the city of Huber Heights.
But along 40, we also have water and sewer, and they still annexed.
What's your land use plan? What's your plan for development? If you think you're going to block out development, sorry, but you're extremely naive.
People have
property rights. People can, for the most part, do what they want to based upon zoning and planning scenario. But if you lose control of the process, you have no say at the table at all.
Well, but you still don't have any say at the table from the outside looking in, because unless you own it, you don't control it. And we taxed ourselves to own it.
You do through your zoning capability.
Well,
you do through your plan use capability.
We're in the process of the third strategic plan. Okay, we've come to the table with all this annexation with two prior, okay? It doesn't matter. We still lose the ground along 40. And going back to the original Wiley's Industrial, we own three buildings in Wiley's Industrial. We were a part of that initial group, the Bethel Businessmen's Association, who ran that line from Huber Heights through a private entity, water entity at the time, to get that service so that we wouldn't have to deal with Huber Heights after it took it over. And that agreement was set up through negotiations, through all of the business owners in Wiley's Industrial, which we were one of. So I do have some information on that a little bit. That agreement should have been extended longer, but that was all we could get at the time. So initially, that was a good deal for us. It stopped the inevitable for how many years? A long period of time. But if we, and something else was mentioned here just as well, Beth, you mentioned that, you know, that was just repassed, the 3.8 was just repassed. It was repassed on reappraisal as well. So not only are our people in the township no longer getting the past value assessment, now it's on current value assessment. So that increases the township's pocketbook, but it also puts more pressure on the residents' pocketbook. So this is not something that the people of this community take lightly as far as how we are spending their money. And that's why they make their voices known pretty loudly when they see that we're doing things that maybe we shouldn't be doing. I mean, I guess that's probably why I was elected 10 months ago, because, you know, I did speak a little bit loudly on how that money was being spent. I don't think that it is the correct way to, it's not doing what we as the citizens living in this township for 40 some years thought it was going to do. There were a lot of good people who put that deal together. It was done by private citizens, two or three of which are no longer with us, but two are very vocal. Mrs. Kegley lives on 40, is a neighbor of mine, Cleo. Donna came to a meeting and spoke directly to us about how it was being used when this water situation came up and was presented to us. She was one of the ones who went through the township and got people to go ahead and pass it initially. So you have these people saying this is not what we signed up for, and it's continued to be renewed, but it doesn't look like it's meeting the needs. It's not stopping annexation. We can't buy property with it. We're using it for infrastructure, which wasn't
we
designed for.
We have bought property with it, and we have put a conservation easement on over 168 acres.
We didn't buy that property. What we did was donate. We donated $1 million.
We can buy property with that money. We bought two parcels in Brant and demolished the house.
So that's how it should be used. We don't need to discuss that. This is kind of getting off topic.
Conservation easement was a block. It did block annexation, and it goes to the park district, which is better than us maintaining it.
I agree. I voted for that, but that's a little off topic. But can I just go back to the controlling your destiny? Because I agree with you. I mean, the putting the water and sewer in along 40, granted it didn't work, but it was a shot at it. But this going up this way is not annexationable, so it's not the same issue. And as I said, so originally, let me tell you, when they first came to us, they came to us first. Mm-hmm. And I said, did you go to Tip City? No. Did you go to Miami County? No. So this was back in February or March, whatever it was. And I felt, why are you coming to us first? And they had some reasons, but it's not even our water, right? So I felt they should at least explore other options there. But since that time, over these months, I've heard a different opinion from the township. And that opinion is, we don't want to spend our tax dollars at any level on private issues. So, I mean, you may look at it as an opportunity to run up to 571, which also may benefit one of our trustees because their family owns land there. But you may want that for
that
development.
Be me, but my parents are never developing that property. Mm-hmm. So,
well, so you may want to put that up there to have it developed, but the township doesn't want that kind of development, which becomes higher density. So I'm just telling you what I've heard in the months since then. So it's kind of changed my opinion more for we should not be doing this with any kind of government money. Now, on the other side, I mean, I feel for them, right? They have water issues. They didn't save enough to correct their own problems or fix those problems as time went on. I mean, it's been 50 some years, 60 years, whatever the number is. It's been a long time. So I feel for them. Don't get me wrong on that. But I'm just saying what I hear from people is that they don't want to spend their tax dollars on this kind of project.
Your levy that you have, what are you spending that money on?
Well,
I mean, how much money's in that account?
There's probably, how much of it is from the levy? Maybe $4 or $5 million we have saved up right now.
And what do you use that for?
Well, we're looking at some options to possibly buy some land, and also I just signed up to.
Wait, we are doing that?
I'm thinking of this.
Okay.
So we've talked about it before.
You just mentioned it in the last meeting.
Yeah, I just mentioned it that we signed up for. I signed us up to be a certified sponsor for the ag easement, which we have not done in recent years.
But we're not buying that land either. That's just an agricultural easement.
Well, so under the, I mentioned this before, Elizabeth Township had bought some land, put it in an easement, and then resold it. So originally you had told us we couldn't buy land, but obviously there's some, I mean, if we buy it, it doesn't stop the annexation, but there's some things that can be looked at. We've talked about getting an annexation, a person dedicated to anti-annexation activities. I'm working on a job description for that. So we're gonna try to spend that money. As Beth said, we haven't stopped the annexation. We haven't developed that, we haven't created that barrier along there to stop Humor Heights from annexing. So we need to get back to that, and we're trying,
well,
but.
I would like to get back to what we're talking about, and that's doing this feasibility study. And if you're telling me no, no, yes, we don't wanna be the ones to do it. We wanna partner, because if we don't partner with you, we won't get any grants at all.
Well, not at all. He said some of them.
The feasibility of assessment to that large amount of 21 people is unrealistic. It's totally unrealistic to assess them. That total, if grant dollars are available, they need to be researched. But if you're not willing to do that, then.
But we have $20,000 left in ARPA funds. Why can't we use that?
Well, what kind of percentage are you talking about? What kind of partnership are you talking about?
What do you think, Michael? You discussed it individually with us.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a, I think we'd have to take a look at what would be a fair share. I don't have an answer for that. But I just think it's important to note that, you know, the commissioners bringing you guys to the table is not a sign that they're for or against, right? This is just a conversation.
David is realistic.
And, you know, sometimes I think a study may help suss that out in terms of is it really needed? You know, what is this the true current status of the line? You know, and that's why I think Commissioner Simmons is focusing on the study, not at all talking about putting $1.6 million into this project yet.
Yeah.
But as far as a share, we'd have to look at that.
Okay, well, can you look at that then and
get back
to us? I mean, I would say nothing's off the table until we hear the deal.
Hear the number.
And I would like to throw it out. I'd like to see the citizens also participate in it some shape or fashion.
So you would like them to participate in that feasibility study?
It's of course a smaller percentage, but that's my view.
Okay. Yeah, we discussed, well, we asked that question before, based on the man who participated in the
collaborative effort.
The Studebaker.
Right.
Up to
so Studebaker. a third and.
No, I wouldn't say a third, but
no. Let them come back with the number.
I mean, that's what you we.
Well,
what
skin
you
in the game.
The,
skin in the game.
Right.
I mean, you know, I mean, obviously, I agree with Commissioner Westfall that, you know, but I'm not going to expect them to pay a third of the study.
I'd be happy
but
50,
you
know, 40, 10.
Yeah, so 40, some, 10, you know, they're in this 50, too, 50, and 80, 10, and I'm really interested in the well part, to investigate the wells and the longevity of those wells and so forth. I mean, we're all sitting around the table with the idea we want to provide safe drinking water.
Absolutely.
for residents, whether Bethel Township or whatever township, right? And if they can do that themselves through privatization of their own wells, then maybe this study will tell us that yes, that can happen. But maybe they'll tell us, hey, yeah, they can put a well, but all the wells are failing. We just need to find the information out. I'm not an engineer, but I need someone to tell me, give us some guidance on what's the best options. And I think this study will help us. We're not, overall, we don't like studies, okay?
Right.
And spending money on studies. But in this case, I think You know, we're not talking about $1 million here. We're talking $50,000 or $60,000, what Josh estimates.
It could be from 35 to 50, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. So depending upon how extensive we make it, you know, so if they want to investigate the line, they're probably going to have to dig some up or have us go out there and hydro-excavate. They go out there and look at it. You know, that might be more time in the field than what they were predicting. So we can tailor this however we need to,
exactly,
to fit whatever criteria we want it to fit.
Yeah.
So I just want to clarify something, because in the meetings, Beth, you've said you also wanted a feasibility study on the sewer line. So we're only talking water here.
Only water.
I've never said I want a feasibility study on the sewer line. I've advocated for West Charleston having gravity sewer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole different animal. Never talked about a feasibility study for a sewer line.
Engineering study.
I have a question for clarification. I just want to make sure I understand something you said, that even if we're in at 1% as a partner, worse, then we're open to those township available grants. Is that true?
Some of the grants are dollar for dollar match. So like the OPWC small governance, the more you contribute, the higher points you get. So if you're contributing $10 and asking OPWC to kick in 100, right, it's going to knock your points way down, and the possibility of you getting funded is going to be close to zero. So, but there are grants out there, like OWDA water loans, that are at 0%, and you only have to kick in a small percentage of it. So there, depending upon the grant and how much you're willing to kick in, we can look for certain grants to maximize that. But some of them are dollar for dollar, some of them are scored based on how much you're willing to spend,
okay,
and some of them are access to 0% loans, 0% down stuff, just for you having anything in it.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and we're just tossing this out. This isn't anything that's on the table. This isn't anything solid, but it would be like, maybe the county kick in 50, you kick in 40, the residents kick in 10. I mean, I'm just throwing that out just
percent,
as a
percent of the cost for the study.
Yeah.
For the study.
Yeah.
And I can get a hold of
MVRTC
to see what, if we can get any kind of grants for this study as well, and then distribute that equally depending upon how this, the breakout. So if it's, you know, 50, 40, 10, 50% of that grant money would be taken out of the county's funds, or however you guys want to do it, you know. The possibilities are endless.
So there's grant money available for the study?
So MVRPC has grant money for regionalization of water and sewer. They're separate, water and sewer. They have one for each.
Okay.
We recently participated with Tip City, West Melton. They were able to get a grant from MVRPC for their sewer. We can do something as well, because we get our Bethel Township gets their water from Clark County. That'll be considered a regionalization through the MVRPC grant. It's not a regional water system. It is just a county water system, but it is regionalized in that sense.
But this is for the study.
Correct. This is for the feasibility study, and they have grants specifically for that feasibility study.
Great.
Even though we don't own the water, just because we're participating in the study.
Well, so we could apply for it even if you kicked in zero and didn't participate. But the more people we bring to the table, the better MVRPC looks at it.
Okay.
I just want to point out that why we don't have funds to put in $1 million water system. Boards before we were involved in it elected to pay the overage and never pass it on to the members. That required a ton of money. When we finally implemented, that the overage was shared between all the property owners, it started to ease up, but we were only paying the bills. We have only been in our home for 10 years now, and there's a lot of new residents in these 19 homes, 21 years. In the last 5 years, it's just exploded. So we implemented a meter maintenance cost. It costs everybody $50 just to have a meter in their home every month. They get their water at cost. We are a nonprofit, so we don't charge for anything. That $50 is for maintenance. There's a maintenance fee for the electric, excuse me, and for insurance and for the CPA that we have do the billing each month. So we have been trying to accumulate money in the last 8 years, trying to double our efforts, but every time we pay a $4,000 or $5,000 leakage, it sets us back that much. Okay. And I'll also tell you that where we live, we hit solid rock at 19 inches.
Okay, well,
thank you guys very much.
Yeah.
Really,
thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks for being here.
We appreciate y'all coming in.
So are you going to discuss and tell us, I mean, you threw this out, but is that the number? Or
negotiable. So you're gonna, it's negotiable. Okay. You know, we know that you need to discuss it between yourselves, but we'd like for you to be part of the study, and hopefully you'll come back with a number that we can.
And I know Mr. Westfall is working very, very, very diligently and hard on the annexation, and we've got some
meetings set up here, just coming up shortly with our legislative representation throughout the region, and hopefully we've got some legislation written that can possibly get passed to at least give us a seat at the table.
Great.
Yeah.
OTA is working on that too.
They've Association and the Farm Bureau Association.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Be very nice.